Hi, everybody. This is Jim Cornette, pro wrestling legend and friend of furry woodland creatures, and you're listening to another wrestling podcast, but this one is the best one.
It's time for another wrestling podcast.
The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at
the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
They got the answers. I changed the question.
The cream of the crop.
Nobody does it better.
These are the best in the world, brother. These are the best at what they do.
When we talk about the legends of the sport, there's only two in my book.
Another wrestling podcast.
Another wrestling podcast. Now can you dig that, sucker?
All right. Welcome to another wrestling podcast. This is episode 90. I'm Steve Credo.
And I'm Jonathan Benjamin.
Wow, Jonathan, 90 episodes. Can you believe it?
I can't. I can't believe that we have stuck it out this long and produced a top-notch podcast.
That's right. 90 episodes in, Jonathan. 90 episodes strong. Wow, almost to 100. That's going to be a crazy show itself. But Jonathan, we're at 90. What's happening?
All kinds of stuff. We are just on the heels of the very first Northeast tour of Global Force Wrestling. Now, if you have not got tickets yet, I don't know what you're waiting on. They're going to be live at the Mid-Hudson, the historic Mid-Hudson Civic Center, January the 22nd. You want to go ahead and throw that VIP experience on these tickets because you're going to get to see all the stars of Global Force Wrestling before you would normally get in. You're going to get to see and meet them. You're going to get to take pictures with them. You're also going to get to see a VIP question and answer session hosted by none other than Steve and I. So that's worth the price of admission right there. But then the very next night, January the 23rd, they're going to be live with Pro Wrestling Syndicate in Rahway, New Jersey. And tickets for that can be found on ProWrestlingSyndicate.com.
That's right, Jonathan. We are so spoiled here in the Northeast of all this wrestling. I know everybody out there listening to us from all over the world is jealous of the Northeast right now. So, Jonathan, just for another wrestling show to come up to our neck of the woods is awesome. So, pro wrestling is happening up here in the Northeast, and I'm glad to see Global Force step up. Jonathan, if people want to get tickets for the 22nd, also head on over to the MidHudsonCivicCenter.com and also go to GlobalForceWrestling.com and make sure you find out everything over there. And, Jonathan, they also announced the lineup that's going to be happening in Poughkeepsie. So, if you haven't heard it yet and you're not sure, you know, should I come? Should I stay home? What should I do? Well, Jonathan, we're going to tell you right now why you should definitely come out to January 22nd in Poughkeepsie, New York. There's going to be three Global Force Wrestling titles on the line that night in Poughkeepsie. We're going to have Nick Aldis, formerly known as Magnus. He's the champion, the Global Force Wrestling heavyweight champion. He's going to be taking on Bobby Roode.
Wow.
That's right there. That's one hell of a match. That's one championship match. Jonathan, another championship match is the Global Force Wrestling Next Gen Championship, where Sanjay Dutt, the champion, will be taking on Jigsaw. Also, Global Force Wrestling Women's Championship, where Christina Von Erie, the champion, will be taking on Mickey James, and also Kimberly, and also Deonna Purrazzo, a four-person women's championship match. It's going to be crazy. Not only will you see that, but you'll also see Jeff Jarrett versus Colt Cabana, the new Heavenly Bodies versus the Reynolds Brothers, Kevin Matthews, Pat Buck, and Amazing Red versus Trevor Lee, Andrew Everett, and Brian Myers, formerly known as Kurt Hawkins, Henry Maxwell versus Cody Deaner. Guys, tickets are available. Get them before they sell out at the Mid-Hudson Civic Center box office or at any Ticketmaster location. Charge by phone at 1-800-745-3000 or head on over to MidHudsonCivicCenter.com. And joining us today on the show is a woman who needs no introduction. She is Mickey James. She's going to be joining us, talking a little bit about Global Force Wrestling and a whole lot more. So stay tuned for that one. And everybody in the Poughkeepsie area, make sure you head on over to the Poughkeepsie Galleria this Saturday to meet Christina Von Erie, Global Force Wrestling's women's champion. She'll be there from 2 to 4, signing autographs, taking photos for absolutely no charge at all. So make sure you head on out there
Me and Jonathan will be there. We'll say hi to everybody. And if you haven't yet, you could probably also pick up some GFW tickets for next Friday. So make sure you come out tomorrow from 2 to 4. Now, we had a little contest to give away some Global Force Wrestling tickets where you could either Instagram us, Facebook us. You can even call the AWP hotline and leave a message. And I'm going to announce those winners right now. And in no particular order at all, we had Patricia Narvisa and Teresa Baker, who sent us photos on Facebook and Instagram. They are getting a pair of tickets to go see GFW. And also Bertram James from Poughkeepsie, who also called the AWP hotline and said this.
Hey, Jay, Stay Breezy James, Mark for life, if you know what I mean. Listen, another wrestling podcast, there's nothing bad that could be said about it. It keeps it real, it keeps it wrestling, it keeps us informed, and it's fun to listen to. GWF, I'm saying, Jeff Jarrett, been an icon for how long? The card is amazing. I would travel anywhere for wrestling. I went to that last card out in Queens with my little Mark Amir, 13 years old. Thirst for wrestling. Hard times right now. So it's a bit, we don't know if we're going to be able to make it out there. So the best way we can try is to win some tickets. So hopefully we're in consideration. Me and my little Mark can be in there for that event on the 22nd at the Civic Center, where it's always amazing. Another wrestling podcast. Keep it going, baby. One.
Once again, congratulations to Patricia Narvisa, Teresa Baker, and Bertram James. You guys are all going to Global Force Wrestling next Friday at the Mid-Hudson Civic Center in Poughkeepsie, New York. Now, for those of you who didn't win on another wrestling podcast, hey, the tickets are still available, so make sure you get them before they sell out. So you do not want to miss this show Friday.
From all of us here at another wrestling podcast, which is just me and you.
Yeah, there's only two of us.
It just makes it sound like a lot more people.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be an experience. I mean, Poughkeepsie is the, I like to call it the capital of pro wrestling. There's so much history that has happened here at the Mid-Hudson Civic Center. So if you guys are listening, you've never been up here, you're in the tri-state area or beyond, head on out here. It's going to be one day to remember, I guess you could say.
Yeah, and this is just, if you like professional wrestling and you want more professional wrestling events to come to the Mid-Hudson Civic Center, then you need to pack this building on the 22nd to show people in charge that we want wrestling. And I think that Global Force is going to be awesome, and I can't wait to see it. And it's going to be our first Global Force wrestling show, and I think that it could be one of many. So let's pack the center.
That's right. Hashtag pack the center.
Hashtag pack the center.
Well, it's trending. You know, everybody listening out there, head on over to anotherwrestlingpodcast.com. All of our shows, all of our episodes. We are on episode 90. That means there's 89 episodes before this one, and you can download them all on our website. Make sure you head on over there, anotherwrestlingpodcast.com. We'd love to hear from you, so let us know.
Steve, a lot of times whenever we're talking, I feel like I want to just, like, punch you in the face.
Jeez, what did I do?
No, I mean, it's nothing bad. It's just, you know.
Hey, so, Steve, I just want to punch you in the face today.
Well,
okay.
I get fired up about wrestling, and I want to, you know, I would love to actually get in the ring sometime and try it out, but it's way too difficult for me. But I thought it would be good to talk maybe about professional wrestling injuries. Now, it was a huge...
That's why you want to punch me in the face.
Yeah, that's why I want to punch you. See, that was a segue. We talk about this all the time, but...
Segue.
There were a lot in 2015.
Yes.
And the hits keep on coming in 2016.
No, literally.
Literally. So it's hard to find out exactly what is going to happen for WrestleMania, what's going to happen to the roster. So I guess Does WWE have, like, a plan for this, or do you think that it's just taken them by surprise and they don't know what to do?
Well, for everybody listening, let's just go back and just really tell them, like, who's out, what's happening, because for everybody who says pro wrestling's fake, well, here's the reality of it, kids. You get injured. It's a sport. It puts a toll on your body. And just recently, Jonathan, we've had John Cena, Cesaro, Tyson Kidd, Hideo Itami, Seth Rollins, Randy Orton, Nikki Bella, Sin Cara, Daniel Bryan, Sting. I'm sure there's a few others within this injury list of 2015, but a lot of these guys are still currently out, are out right now. They're probably not going to return until after WrestleMania, which is a big hole in the card. Pretty much every championship, or no, every champion, or a lot of the winners from last year's WrestleMania are out on injury this year, so it's definitely what's going to happen, because I mean, this is the reality of it, kids. You know, when you get injured, you have to get surgery or something else, or you got to wait till your body heals to come back. And for a lot of these superstars, you know, this is their life, and being out for a week could take a toll. Being out for 2 months is, you know, being out for longer than that, 6 months, 7 months. Sami Zayn was out for just 7 months too in NXT. So it's crazy. The longer you're out, the more you're off TV. The more you're off TV, the more people forget about you. The more they forget about you, the lower your stock is, you know, and so on and so forth. So, you know, these guys, these wrestlers, these women, you know, this is their life. They need to be on TV. They need to be seen. They need to be in the forefront of all this. And without them being anywhere, you know, it hurts them. And then it also probably could hurt the company in a certain aspect. But, you know, like we were saying, WrestleMania is just a few months away, a few weeks away, if you really want to count it like that. But, you know, what do? They have to, you know, it's crunch time. We're a few weeks away from the Royal Rumble, which is the road to WrestleMania. And, you know, that's, you know, we're trying to build towards WrestleMania with all these guys out, Jonathan. What do we do?
Well, I think it's kind of interesting, the breakdown of this. If you look at some of these guys, if you look at Cena, Orton, I think even Cesaro, Wade Barrett, we didn't
That's
mention
right,
him.
Wade, yeah.
They're all like arm, shoulder surgeries or injuries. Sin Cara as well, I think. You know, if you look at Daniel Bryan, Sting, Tyson Kidd, they're all neck injuries. And, you know, Daniel Bryan also had concussion issues, but for the most part, at the base of the problem was the neck. And Seth Rollins obviously blew out his complete and total knee, so that didn't help anything. But yeah, like you were saying, WrestleMania's coming. What does WWE do? There's a lot of rumors going around right now about having people come in from outside of the company. I think that could help. I think also they've got a lot of great people kind of waiting in the wings. You've got NXT people that could possibly come up. And yeah, I'm not talking about depleting the entire roster of NXT. I'm talking about, you know, being smart about this. I think Enzo and Cass could have came up a long time ago.
Mm.
I also wish that they would have won the NXT titles before they came up. But I think Enzo and Cass are ready. But also, I think that there's a lot of great talent right now in the WWE, and it's a sink or swim moment for them. Roman Reigns right now is going to have the entire world on his back. You know, whether he wants that or not, I don't know. And whether he will do good with that, I don't know. But, you know, guys like Dean Ambrose, guys like Kevin Owens, guys like Cesaro, there's a lot of people out there right now that have been on that level for a long time, but they got outshined by maybe, you know, a John Cena or Seth Rollins or whatever. And now they can really take that brass ring that everybody talks about and show the WWE and the world that they belong in the WWE. And obviously in Nikki Bella's absence, we've had some great women's wrestling with, you know, Charlotte and Paige and Becky Lynch and all that. But even still, they're all these people are going to come back, and there's going to be kind of some awesome matches that come out of all this, because all these people that are injured are going to want their spot.
Yeah,
back.
Exactly.
So
and they gotta, yep.
There's going to be some great matches, and, you know, wrestling scripted. It's obviously not fake from this laundry list of injuries, but to see some of this emotion from some of these people, it's going to be great. And I think that I try to make a positive out of a negative. And I think that once these guys come back, guys and girls, to see some of these amazing matches that are going to come from this, is really going to be worth it.
Yeah, and, you know, just thinking ahead, you know, with a few months to go, like, do you jump the gun? Do you say, hey, maybe we should bring Finn Balor up just to have a spot at Mania? Does that even work, or is it too soon, or do we just wait for after Mania? Especially at least the NXT guys on your mind. I mean, who else could they bring up from NXT to at least debut, maybe even at the Royal Rumble, to at least have a somewhat of a spot at WrestleMania?
Here's my thinking. They're needing WrestleMania moments and WrestleMania matches. there's nothing saying that they can't debut as NXT wrestlers at WrestleMania. Mm. They can have an NXT championship match at WrestleMania. I mean,
yeah.
Or the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Hideo Itami was in there last year. Like, they can have some of the people be in some of these events. I definitely think that you can do it in a smart way, because if they bring Finn up right now just for that reason only, then there may be some issues down the road, because people want to see him there, but
yeah,
he's still got time in NXT yet. It's fairly early. To be honest, it's hard for me to see a lot of these guys get called up, because we talked about this in a previous episode, about sometimes it's not always the best for these people when they get called up.
Sure.
And I would hate to see someone get the Adam Rose or Ascension treatment from, you know, coming up too soon.
Yeah, and you know, that's the thing too, like with these injuries, now who steps up without NXT, then you have within the current roster, you know, now like you said too, the spotlight's on like Dean Ambrose, Kevin Owens, guys like that, you know, now they kind of have a little bit better of a spot now, if you will, going towards WrestleMania without even bringing any other names in. So that might be interesting. I'm kind of curious to what they will do at WrestleMania, to where do we you know, Money at the Bank was a staple for it, to where I know this episode's about injuries too, but it's like we're trying to fix the injury problem. Like, what do you do now that all these guys are out? You know, this is the reality of it though. When you get all these guys injured, now you got to go into like a plan B mode. What's your plan B to fix the situation at least? Because, you know, they're going to be going to Texas. They got to fill this huge stadium. And, you know, you kind of want big names. You want big matches. So what kind of big matches are going to fix this, especially with all these bigger names that are out? You know, like we mentioned, Cena's not going to be there. Seth Rollins won't be ready. Maybe Randy Orton could be, but right now he's not around. Daniel Bryan isn't even on the list right now. Sting's definitely not going to probably be ever wrestling again for WWE. All in all, out of all these injuries, you know, it's more than injuries, pretty much what we're trying to get to where as soon as you have these guys injured, you know, the plan B has to come in and step in. And, you know, a lot of these names are going to get a better spot on the card. And, you know, this is the reality of the sport, because a lot of guys probably held back because one guy is good and he's in a good spot or whatever. But now he's injured. Now what do you do with him? Now you got to kind of look to the plan B and move this guy up into his place. So,
well, and you have to think about this too, that some of these people may never regain their spot. I mean,
yeah, that's it.
You look at Daniel Bryan right now, he's been cleared by certain doctors, but WWE doctors won't clear him.
Yeah.
So his future's really in the hands of the WWE. And, you know, we'll, I think it's important to not only talk about the injuries that have happened now, but maybe some of them that have happened in the past that have been really detrimental to those people's career. And I'm not saying this with a lot of pleasure in my mind, but the one that comes to mind to me is Bret Hart. And back at Starrcade 99, it was Bret versus Goldberg, and Goldberg went to do somewhat of like I don't know if it's a crescent kick or not, but he does like a side kick, almost like a Sweet Chin Music, and hits Bret Hart, and then Bret Hart goes down with a concussion. After that, he has a stroke, and then his career's pretty much over.
Well,
so,
well, that's good. I mean, even focusing on that, we'll get to some of those in the past, but I'll tell you this right now, with all these injuries, do you feel that, not just necessarily WWE, but especially WWE, to where they've seemed like they've been really safe with wrestling the past few years. You know, you can't do certain moves, you can't do this and that. But as being as safe as they have been, look at the injury list. How are these guys getting so injured, especially when they're at least being so safe?
Well, I think that, like I said, you have to look at what those injuries are. A lot of them are arm, and a lot of them are neck. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, if you look back at the video of Seth Rollins, it was just a, you know, perfect timing, I guess is what you call it. But like, he blew his knee out because he hopped off the rope, and that was that. But, maybe it's time, just like in the NFL, they're looking at the concussion issue. So maybe it's time for the WWE to look at their neck or their arm. I mean, you know, John Cena, if you look at him, he does a lot of lifting. They all do a lot of like weights and all that stuff, but John Cena's move sets involve him picking people up and putting them down. Like, I pick things up and I put them down. That's what John Cena's moves are. You know what I mean? So Daniel Bryan, he does a flying headbutt. That's got to not be great with his, you know, his concussions and his neck. So it's important, I think, for them to keep an eye on it. Do I think that, you know, they should ban more moves or anything like that? No, but I also want these guys to last a really long time because
sure.
If you look back, and not to make this episode really bleak, but if you look back at a lot of these wrestlers that we grew up with in the 80s, a lot of them are either really in bad shape, like Dynamite Kid, or some of them have just simply passed away from you know, nagging injuries or, you know, heart attacks or whatever. So
yeah, because I mean, when we just read this whole injury list, I'm just thinking, I'm like, wow, you know, they cut out a lot of moves. They definitely doing a lot of things that are safer. But then at the end of the day, this year was just horrible for people getting injured. So it should be interesting. But if you have a plan B out there, or what you think you could do with a lot of these guys who are missing on the list, on the roster right now, let us know. You know, make sure you head on over to our Twitter at A Wrestling POD. It's our wrestling another wrestling podcast, but we got to shorten it. So it's A Wrestling POD, a wrestling pod, if you will. You can Facebook us at Another Wrestling Podcast. We're on Instagram, Another Wrestling Podcast. Leave us some feedback. Comment on the shows. We post all of our shows all over. So leave us a comment. Let us know what you think.
All right. Without further ado, joining us right now in the studio is Mickey James.
Hardcore Country! Hey, hey, can't you see?
I'm a rockin' Southern girl running wild and to the core.
Hardcore country.
Backwoods or uptown.
Hardcore country.
Rocking your world with a thrillbilly sound.
Joining us on the show today is one of the best women's wrestlers of all time. She is a multi-time champion, a country music superstar, and you can see her wrestling for Global Force Wrestling on January 22nd and 23rd. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back to the show, Mickey James. Mickey, thank you so much for joining us today, and Happy New Year. You had an amazing 2015. Do you think you'll be able to top it in 2016?
I sure hope so. You say it was an amazing 2015, which it was pretty, it was great, but I think we can make 2016 much better.
Well, we've got lots to talk about today, but we want to get right into Global Force Wrestling. You've been wrestling all over the world for many different companies. So what was it that drew you to Global Force Wrestling?
I think it's the energy, really, and the synergy. I mean, Jeff is great. I've worked for Jeff when TNA first started, you know. So, and I saw what, you know, what he took that to. And now to, like, start out on something new and exciting, and let's face it, the business needs something new and exciting. And I want a place for everybody to work and everybody to make money and have fun. And I think GSW is doing great things. You know, like we're doing the first ever UK live shows. We did those, and then we're going back over in March. And, you know, I know this whole season's getting ready to pick up, and we're going back to some of these baseball stadium shows over the summer. And it's just going to be, I mean, it's been great. And the TVs that we shot in Vegas are amazing. Like the quality and the backstage segments and everything. It's so unique, and it's shot differently, so differently than any other wrestling that's out there right now. So it's kind of cool to see the, you know, the kind of the mesh of like a little bit of the MMA style as far as like some of the promos or like the realism to it, you know?
Absolutely. Now, you're at a different point in your career. You've been a lot of places. You've conquered them all. With that being said, what are some of your immediate goals in Global Force Wrestling? Do you want to go straight for the championship, or are you just enjoying being in a different place at a different time?
All of the above.
Awesome.
All of the above. You know, I think it's just my nature to strive to be the best. In every company that I've been in, I've always strived to be, you know, the best female there, or not just the best female, but one of the best talent that they have, male or female. Why close off your, you know, goals to just one little genre there, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But yeah. So, I don't know. I have big hopes for GFW, not only to win the GFW Women's Championship, but also to kind of like be a staple in the women's division and hopefully help mold the future talent. Because let's face it, like, I don't want to wrestle forever for sure, but I've always wanted to be involved in the wrestling business in some aspect, and whether that is, you know, on camera or behind the camera or helping, you know, mold some of the newer generation of talent that's coming around and, you know, maybe teach them some of the stuff that I've learned in my career, from camera angles to promos to working in front of a live audience to working the television crowd, because that's two different things, you know? Mm-hmm. So.
Sure. Now, Mickey, we here at Another Wrestling Podcast are excited to have you back wrestling in the Northeast. On January 22nd, 23rd, you'll be a part of GFW's historic Northeast tour. Now, do you have any favorite memories of wrestling maybe at the Mid-Hudson Civic Center in Poughkeepsie, or at least the Northeast? Because this is the first time Global Force Wrestling will be in the Northeast up here.
It is. So I'm excited about that. Oh, man. Oh, God. It's hard to, you know, I have so many fond memories of so many different shows I've done all over, and it's just, it's really hard to pinpoint one thing to say, like, oh, that was it. You know, some of the best crowds have been in the Northeast because they're so vocal, and they're very, some vocal in the best ways, some vocal in the worst ways, right? Like, but,
yep.
but vocal nonetheless, which is better than not. And, so I enjoy playing off the crowd and giving them what they want, even if they don't think it's what they want.
Sure.
You know, it was like, even as the bad girl, like that was one of my favorite, was playing the bad girl, even though I haven't been able to do it very often in my career.
Sure.
I'm really good at it. I'm a bad girl in real life.
Well, on January 22nd, you're going to be live at the Mid-Hudson Civic Center, like we just said. You'll be wrestling indie sensation Kimberly, as well as GFW's women's champion Christina Von Erie. Are we going to get to see you add another title to your already legendary resume?
Well, I sure hope so. I'm not coming all the way to Kipsy to lose, that's for damn sure.
Well...
Is that too cocky?
That is not. We are definitely on your side. We're rooting for you because mainly
I'm afraid
to get beat up.
I faced Kimberly before, obviously, for, you know, I faced her in Maryland, and I think she's very, very talented. And isn't Deanna Paluzzo? Is that Deanna Paluzzo? Am I saying it right?
I think that she is no longer going to be there. We're not 100% sure yet. We heard from her that she may not be on that show.
Oh, well, that just made me a little sad. I was looking forward to that.
Yes, us too.
Yeah. Oh, well. Well, you win some, you lose some, or you just don't show up for some. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Now, it was also announced, too, that you'd be taking part in a huge GFW tour of the United Kingdom in March. What are some of your favorite things about wrestling overseas? Is there just something different over there that's maybe not like over here?
You know, I think what it is when we go wrestle over there, because their audience doesn't see, they don't get tours over there, like the big tours or like the big U.S. companies. They don't come over very often. Like TNA goes over, what, once a year? WWE goes over twice a year. Now with NXT, they'll probably go over four times a year if you count, because they're WWE too, obviously, right? So,
yes.
But in reality, like that's, and other than that, they have, just like the United States has, you know, their indie federations or whatever, and they have a few, they have some pretty good ones over there. But I think the energy, they get so excited to see you, and they're so grateful. And they're so warming and inviting, and you just, they're so excited that you're there that energy just transcends throughout the show, right? So it just brings like that much more out of you in your performance.
Awesome. Now, travel is a huge part of the wrestling business. What are some of the things that you do to keep busy or sane on the road while you're traveling?
It's different now, you know, because now instead of starting to change a little bit more because Donovan's not going on the road with me as much as he had before. But, you know, before when I was, you know, single and fancy free, I would always, it's crazy how it's, you know, it's so silly, but, you know, I would wake up in the morning and I would find the local gym and I would go work out for, you know, my hour and a half to 2 hours. And, in between that time, I would get my coffee, obviously, because I cannot function without it. And then I can't, it's impossible. It's like, that is definitely my fix. So, and then, you know, grab lunch and then go to the arena. And then now it's like a little bit different, obviously. So I have to kind of improvise. But to stay sane, like obviously he keeps me a little bit more balanced as far as like, you know, it's not just about me anymore. Like, cause whereas before selfishly, the selfish wrestlers, as all wrestlers are, me, I would just worry about that. And now it's just like so much more demanding. And so even when he's not on the road with me, I'm still constantly, you know, like checking in on him with the nanny or with whoever he's with. And, you know, and then, so and it's cool. It's kind of a good balance, like being able to take him on the road with me on some when it makes sense. And then others, like I went to Mexico recently for like a week and he didn't go. And that was a big thing. That was a big step, but it was also like one of those, necessary steps so I could then see that he doesn't need me by his side every waking moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So then I can, now I can start to fully function again as a human and get back into my hustling mode that I'm so used to.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, Mickey, speaking of traveling and stuff, is there something in the Mickey James travel bag that you can't leave home without?
Oh, goodness. Well, my boots, for one. my headphones.
Okay.
My headphones. I need my headphones. And I always have a journal or, like, some type of, I don't care about, like, my diary. But I do always have, like, a notebook that I can jot down thoughts and songs or lyrics or just spots. No, I don't do spots as much anymore. Like I said, is, you know, more of like ideas for like character stuff or promos or like just cool things or sayings or drawings for like a t-shirt ideas or stuff like that. Like I'm still very old school and like with a pen and a paper in that aspect.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But if you do have a diary that you could send us, we would love to read it.
I'm sure you would. I burned him all of
them. Oh, man. Well, obviously you'll be pretty busy with Global Force throughout the upcoming months. But after those tours with Global Force, what are you going to be busy with this year?
Well, I've started to work on some new music, so I'm writing some new music. So hopefully go back in the studio and start recording a little bit of original stuff. I don't know. I've been pondering this. Because I've been talking to a publishing company about a book. And I was like, hey, they approached me like a few years ago. And I was kind of like in that mode of like, I'm still very young, and I'm like, oh my gosh, my life is not even halfway over. Like, so I was kind of like torn about writing a book. And but the more I've thought about it and I've sat back for kind of 2 years, and now that I've had Donovan, and I go, well, it's not like WWE is banging on my door to come back, or like, I don't know. You know, you just don't know as far as what that kind of thing holds. And it's like, well, I do have some really cool stories in my life up to this point that a book might be interesting. I don't know. Would it be interesting, or would it just be like one of those, would it be like a coffee table book? Would it just collect that?
No, I think I watched the really extensive High Spots interview that you did a couple years back.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that was very like entertaining and informative. So I mean, I'm all for a Mickey James book. That's for sure.
Yeah, and that was only a quarter of it.
Oh wow!
I'm surprised that you did. You watch all like 5 hours of it, or
are you going to be creeped out if I say yeah?
Not completely.
Okay, so I watched. I did. I watched it all. It was great.
Oh, that's awesome. No, thank you. I'm honored that you would actually take that much time to watch. That's awesome.
It was partially for research. I'll do that. I'll say that. See, that doesn't sound so creepy.
Okay. Fair enough.
No, and I was always bummed that in WWE, either an extensive WWE DVD of Mickie James or a book didn't happen. So no, I think this is I guess
somewhere secretly deep down inside, and I can say this openly because I'm at that point where I just don't care anymore, but I think somewhere deep down inside I had hoped, and you never would come out and say, but like, oh, I guess I'd always hope that like, oh yeah, you'll get that one more run and then maybe they will consider doing like a book or something like that, because I feel like my life story is pretty darn interesting. But you know, there comes a point where you just go like, you can't sit around and wait and hope for things. And I certainly am not one to sit around and beg for things. So I think that it's just like, you want to do things and you want to live life. I mean, you only live once, right? So just do it and have fun and don't apologize and just do your thing. Just do your damn thing, man. That's all you can do.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now, Mickey, the fans have spoke, and women's wrestling is once again being highlighted in mainstream wrestling. Do you think this will taper off in the future, or is women's wrestling here to stay?
I sure hope not, but it's one of those things of like, it does go through, as I think wrestling goes through generational, like, it's like a therapy almost, right? Like, so things that are hot now, they kind of go back down, and then they come back, and they get hot again, and so... You know, you look back in time and like where there was glow and there was like, you know, which was all women, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And wow, which a lot of people don't remember, but that was like a huge thing back then. And it kind of tapered off as well as like the credibility of women's wrestling. And, you know, now that it's come back around. And I think that the fact that it's 2016 now, I mean, women are running companies, they're CEO of companies, they're congresswomen, they're running for president. I mean, so the fact that a woman can't be as big, if not bigger, a bigger star than any man on the roster is, you know, ridiculous. So why shouldn't it be? And I think they've proved that to be the case as far as like not only having them finally listen around and come in and bring such the divas and the knockouts is such a huge staple in the roster and looking for like really solid, credible talent. But also like, I feel like there's also that, dimensional talent too, where it's like, you're not looking. And I don't think that everybody, every female, just like, I feel like there's a place for every type of male, like whatever happened to male managers, like, you know what I mean? Like the Jimmy Hart, so the Slicks, and like, that was money to me. You know, Bobby Heenan, like that was money. Jimmy Cornette, like, so there's places for all kinds of people in the business. You know what I mean? And just finding your niche and your role and what you're best at. But I certainly hope that, I feel like as far as the championship goes, it should be the same for the women as for the men. And it should be the supreme athletes, the best in the world, competing for that championship and nothing less. And where everything else goes, like, there's room for managers and there's also room for the girlfriends and the cat fights and all that fun stuff. Because me as a fan, I loved that stuff. It was cool when, you know, Stacey Keibler and Tori Wilson finally went at it over whatever reason. You know what I mean? Because that was cool. But I grew up in a different generation of wrestling, I guess, than now. You know what I mean? So I just feel like it's all come full circle. And who's to say that within 10 years from now, we don't go back to that whole same cycle and it kind of resurfaces again. And then 15 years, like, oh my gosh, women's wrestling is a huge deal again. You know, it's like, it's constant.
Sure.
Just like, I feel like the business in a little bit, the business has kind of fallen off. It's like, it's really hard for people. It's hard. How do I say this? Well, it's a lot harder for the guys to get over these days. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because
yep.
Everybody's so aware of because we've pretty much given a lot of stuff away. And so everybody's so aware and everybody feels like they're in the in and they're in the know. So then it's like, oh, well, you know, I want to cheer the bad guy because he does such a great promo. And they've forgotten the fact that it's supposed to be like a theater show. You're supposed to go into the movies and you're supposed to get lost in the characters and have fun. And sure, there is like elements of that where you can respect the performer for their artistry, but at the same time, allow yourself to just get lost in the stories. You know what I mean? Like, and be a fan. It's totally cool to be a fan.
Yeah. I'm right there with you.
Now,
did I just ramble, or did that make sense for what?
No, it made total sense, so much so that I felt like that I was going to ask you if you thought that having some of those alternative roles, like whenever you were there, you were kind of the resident wrestler, and then there were also, you know, valets and managers and stuff. So we were in sync.
Well, good. Well, good.
All right. Now, obviously, you are no stranger to injuries in professional wrestling, and throughout 2015 and even into this year, 2016, a lot of WWE's top talents were injured. What was the worst injury that you ever had in your career? And as a wrestler, how hard is it to come back from an injury after having time off?
Oh, wow. Fortunately, like, I never had any serious injuries. I tell you, like, I've separated both my shoulders twice, and they put me out, you know, and I came back on all of them. I probably came back too soon just because you're so not in the sense job scared, because you, but in the sense of, like, you know, if you step out of the light, if you step out too far for too long, that somebody is quick to take your spot, as they would, and as I would if I was waiting in the wings in hopes for that spot. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So there is a bit of that, like, where we tend to come back a little early or come back too early, you know, just because we're stubborn and we don't want to be out of the limelight and we don't want to give up our spot to the next person who's hungry and wants it. But I, the scariest thing that probably happened to me was when I did this, I was going for a Hurricanrana on Melina. It was live on television, and it was just like her feet were on the inside, and I feel like her feet were on the, I can't even remember because I was so spaced out, and I was like, you try to, and I've watched it. I think it's on the Botchamania thing, which is awesome. It's always a treat when you find yourself on there, right? You're like, oh, sweet, good. Highlight of my career, Botchamania, 27. What? Yeah, and I landed, and I almost, like, because I went to do a Hurricanrana, she held on, right? So I was flipping, and I've done this move 1,000 times, right? Like, maybe not 1,000, maybe 100. At any rate, when I flipped through, I didn't flip all the way, so I lawn darted myself, like, literally lawn darted myself on my neck, and it jammed me. Like, they said that I had just, like, a severe case of whiplash, but for like, 3 weeks, I'm sitting there, and I couldn't really, like, turn my head, you know, and it's like, I was sitting there, like, turning my whole body in order to see things, but of course, I'm still trying to work and work around it and kind of be tough, because I'm in the middle of, like, storylines and everything else, you know, so that was probably the scariest thing, because it knocked me kind of loopy out in the middle of the ring. It was the first time that had really happened, so.
Lightning round.
Your favorite show to binge watch?
Modern Family.
Awesome. Now, other than yourself, who is the greatest women's wrestler of all time?
Other than myself. Of all time?
Of all the times.
Of all the time. In the world.
In the whole world.
Oh my God, Sensational Sherry.
If you got to handpick your retirement match, who would you wrestle against?
Current or of all time? Or of my, like, of my generation?
I'll say just current to give you a little bit of a loop on this one.
That's currently on television right now.
Yeah, currently anywhere right now. Who's still wrestling?
If I had to wrestle one retirement match, anyone that's wrestling right at the present moment, I would say Kong, because I've never faced her.
Okay, awesome. Now, yeah. You are obviously not only a wrestler, but a musician as well, so I would say, like, what's the last CD you listened to, but no one has those anymore, so what is just the last musician that you listened to?
I listened to, like, this techno mix today when I was doing cardio. Does that count?
That
doesn't really count. Like, no, it's like workout music. I would say Adele.
Okay.
The last, like, and it's the, like, where I've listened to, like, the album.
Okay, awesome.
Now, how about your favorite food?
Steak.
Steak, awesome.
I do. Steak and potato girl.
I want to know this because we're a bit of a bit of nerdy people here. But did you go see the new Star Wars?
I did not. What's the inside of a movie theater look like?
Wow.
I haven't seen one in a very long time.
I feel like you kind of have your own movie theater, though, like in your house.
I wish. I mean, I have Netflix and I have, you know, on demand.
Well, Mickey, we really appreciate your time. Thank you so much. Everybody listening, January 22nd and 23rd, you'll see Mickey James at Global Force Wrestling in Poughkeepsie and down in Rahway, New Jersey. Mickey, where can the fans keep up with you on social media these days?
Well, I just have a new improved website, MickeyJames.com. It's the same it's always been. We've just revamped it a little bit. And there you can find my Twitter, at Mickey James, my Facebook, Mickey L. James, Instagram, YouTube, all that good stuff. It's all available on my website, MickeyJames.com. So, yeah, and hopefully I have new exciting stuff for you guys. And I'll see you in Poughkeepsie, which you're giving away free tickets to. How about that?
That is correct. And we are also going to be part of the VIP experience. We urge all the people that are buying tickets to spend the extra $25. You get to get in early. You get to listen to us yammer on to the wrestlers. And you get to meet some of the stars of Global Force Wrestling. And
Myself included. Yeah.
I'm going to assume that you may or may not put one of us in a headlock. So if you want to come out and see us get beat up by amazing Mickey James, then definitely spend the extra $25.
Love it.
Now, Jonathan, you mentioned a little bit earlier in the show, you brought up Bret Hart. Thanks for bringing up Bret Hart, because I always have to bring him up on every show.
Yeah, I figured you'd like a break. So.
But an unfortunate reason. You know, we talked a lot of the present injuries and kind of what's going to happen now with all these injuries. You know, what do they have to do? But if we go check our past, because you don't really learn anything unless you look back on the history of what happened before. You know, there's a lot of injuries in the past, you know, from the brutal Mick Foley Hell in a Cell, where you pretty much thought he would die right in front of your eyes, to even the tragic Owen Hart, you know, tragically dying in the ring during a stunt that they pulled in the ring. But Jonathan, let's talk about some of these old, even just injuries, you know, like Steve Austin versus Owen Hart at SummerSlam, to where he had that stinger live on TV. This is, you know, what he was in a good spot too back then, injured on a pay-per-view, gets the pin, but he was still off for a long time after that. You know, these are the things that what happened in the past, though. What can we talk about these?
You know, one of the ones that really get me was Edge. I was actually at Bridgeport whenever he retired, and I really didn't think it was real. I thought it was, you know, a storyline or whatever. It was really scary. You know, his neck was just from years and years of issues. I know he had a couple surgeries, and he actually, you know, sought the advice of Steve Austin, and he's like, listen, like, it's the same surgery I had, and, you know, it could end okay, and then you could wrestle, but then one wrong thing and you're paralyzed. So, I think that was really hard for me to watch, because when Edge first kind of started, that's when I was, you know, I was older and I could kind of saw what was happening and followed Edge's career. And then this unfortunate thing happened with his neck. And I still think that he had so much left to give and would have been awesome to see him go against some of these new guys in NXT. And, you know, Finn Balor versus Edge would have been an amazing match. Yeah. And, you know, all this stuff. So, but he's got to do what's right for him. And obviously if I was presented with that, like, yeah, you can go ahead and wrestle, but one bad then you're paralyzed and you'll be, you know, drinking soup from a straw for the rest of your life.
What's crazy about the Edge one is that we saw him, he pretty much retired the night after WrestleMania. So as you were watching him at WrestleMania, not once did you even realize this would be his last match. You know what I mean? So I have to kind of actually go back and watch that again, because, you know, watching it, you're just like, oh, okay, it's Edge. You know, you want to watch it, this and that. And then next night I have to retire. What? We just saw his, like, you didn't realize that you were witnessing his last match ever. So it's one of those things to where, you know, hey, they went out and did it, but that was it for them, you know? So there's a couple other people kind of like that. You know, speaking even of other past things that have happened, you know, from Cactus Jack getting his ear ripped off in Germany, you could probably YouTube that one, or maybe WWE Network that one. I don't know if that's even on there. But, you know, a lot of crazy things happen live. Is there anything that you've seen live that happened that was just like, all right, in the past at least, that's not present?
Yeah, I think I mean, I wasn't there live, but the 2005 Royal Rumble, whenever it was both Batista and Cena that went over the rope.
Yep.
And Vince McMahon came strutting out there, and he went to get in the ring and blew out both of his quads.
I remember
that. And that is one of the, I mean, it's sad, but it's like one of the most memorable things for me, because you could just see like the legitimate pain.
Yeah.
And from everything that you heard about when Triple H went through his quad injury in 2001, it's got to be like one of the most painful things in the world. And not only did Vince tear one, but to almost say to Triple H, I can do anything you can do, only better, he tears both of them. And then like he just sat in the corner, and I remember just thinking, oh my God, the guy's got to be in so much. I didn't even know what had happened at that moment, but like I knew it was not good, because why would he just sit there like that? You know what I mean?
And that's
what
you got to like give credit to the pro wrestling, to the pro wrestling universe, to Vince McMahon, to all these crazy SOBs on the show, because, you know, no matter what happens to them, they still continue the show. Earlier we talked, Seth Rollins got injured, he still continued to finish the match. The whole Steve Austin injury with Owen Hart, as bad as it was, as horrible as it was, he still got the pin on Owen. They finished the match. And like, you know, if I get hurt somewhere, screw whatever I'm doing, I'm going home, I'm getting an ambulance, I'm doing whatever. But these guys somehow power through it. And, you know, hats off to you, kudos to you, whatever you want to say. That's what's amazing about some of these pro wrestlers out there, that no matter how bad they're injured, they still finish the show. And guys, man, I don't know how you do it. You know, I don't know if it's an equivalent of taking a bullet if you're a police officer, to where if you get injured, you finish the match, or you know what I mean? So regardless of all these injuries that we're talking about, some of them that actually do happen live, you know, it's just amazing how they can still go out there and finish the day with it. So it's crazy.
Yeah. And you know what? Like, if you look at some of, once again, we're talking about some of the lasting injuries. If you look at Shawn Michaels in 1998, he was going against Undertaker at the Royal Rumble, and he got thrown. It was a casket match.
Yep.
He got thrown over the rope and his back. And watching that, I've seen that clip, you know, 9,000 times, and it doesn't even look like he really hit his back. But, you know, his back was kind of shoddy to begin with, and then this kind of all happened at once. And he was out for years, and then he finally came back, and you saw the awesome feud between him and Triple H after that. But there's a very good possibility that could have been career ending. And that's what, you know, like you said, you got to give props to these guys and girls, because you don't want to say that like every moment that they're in the ring, they could get injured, but it's really it could happen.
You know, what you said with Edge, you know, I think it has the same thing to do with the HBK, because after he hurt his back, I think he was working injured almost pretty much until WrestleMania, where he fought Steve Austin. And, you know, that was pretty much, people thought it was going to be Shawn Michaels' last match. Him going out there had the mentality saying that this was going to be the last match right now. You know, he had to get surgery. He didn't know what was going to happen to him. So it's crazy, man. It's crazy not knowing your last match, especially in this business, all the injuries that are happening. Some guys are really great. They can come out there, get injured, and then they're done forever, you know, or guys could have such a lengthy career, you know, like Edge, still a young guy. And, you know, you never know what happens the next day. That's it, man. It's crazy.
One of the things that I think is really crazy to think about is you look back in the day when someone got injured. Say, you know, let's say that Ric Flair got injured. Well, and he did. Like, he survived a plane crash. So, but, like, the recovery time back then was so different than what it is now.
Yeah.
The guys could take a month off, because what would happen is they would say, you know, Ric Flair got into it with Dusty Rhodes, and Dusty Rhodes broke his leg. And so, like,
yeah, exactly.
Ric Flair literally couldn't be seen out in public for, like, a month unless he had, like, a cast on and all that stuff.
Yep.
Now that people are a little more hip to it or whatever, they even show, like, the surgery photos and stuff on WWE.com, which is crazy. But, like, John Cena is, you know, everybody makes fun of him, call him Super Cena and all that stuff. But I don't know what he's made out of, but you know, I was there live when he returned at the Royal Rumble in Madison Square Garden after he tore his pec off the bone. I mean, I have to say that. Like, he literally was fighting. He was in a match against Mr. Kennedy, tore his pectoral off the bone. And they were like, well, he's out for, like, you can just call it, like, a year, 2 years, whatever. And then, you know, the buzzer goes off, John Cena's music hits, and everybody goes just insane because no one expected him to be back that quick.
Do you know how long it was, or off the top of your head?
I don't know off the top of my head. It's I would say it was a couple months. Yeah. It wasn't anywhere near, I would say it's at least half of what they thought it was going to be. So.
I know a lot of these injuries are serious, and we don't know how long these guys are going to be out, but I'm also wondering if they're really just saving a few big pops for the Royal Rumble. You know, like this whole Daniel Bryan thing. Oh, they're not going to clear me, not going to clear me. What a huge thing it would be for him to come out at, like, number 30. You know what I mean? Something like that. And then I'll be like, oh, you son of a bitch. You know, you got us.
Well,
but,
and, like, obviously, the Daniel Bryan, everybody wanted him to be in the Rumble.
Exactly,
so,
yeah.
I mean, that could happen. And, obviously, we are not hoping that
someone... Or speculating or saying it. But it's just one of those things to where, okay, we've read that whole list off of who's out with injury right now. And it will be interesting. I think that's what I'm going to watch the Royal Rumble for, to see who is actually returning from the injured list ahead of time to get ready for WrestleMania season. And if we don't see any of these returns, then, you know, something big's got to happen. So anyway, but either way, you know, injuries. We talked a lot about injuries that have happened in the sport. You know, this is a real thing. People, as much as they either want to make fun of pro wrestling or whatnot, you know, hey. These guys put their lives on the line, put their livelihood on the line, and, you know, this is what happens. So kudos to them, and thank you so much for entertaining us throughout the years. And we wish all and everybody who's injured this year a speedy recovery, because we can't wait to see everybody back in the ring in 2016. And if you're listening, please head on over to anotherwrestlingpodcast.com. You'll find all of our links to everything and anything associated with us. And if you missed any interviews today or in the past, and you just want to hear more stuff, make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube at youtube.com/anotherwrestlingpod. And you can find all of our past interviews. We have a lot of live things we've done on there. Some of our live shows and other unique interviews only exclusive for our YouTube page.
Coming February 13th at 7 p.m., we have a WWE legend, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, doing his 2x4 tour in Poughkeepsie. Guys, laughitup.net for more information. And if you like our show, make sure to check out some of our friends. Check out Main Event Marks. Head on over to facebook.com/Main Event Marks. You can join Angry Cooter and his panel of smart Main Event Marks every Thursday at 9 p.m. for an uncensored show for the Marks by the Marks.
That's right, and we are here to spread the wealth. If you love professional wrestling, we urge you to go over to pwpnation.com. PWP Nation is a wrestling media website and community that loves professional wrestling. They strive on creating an array of interesting articles and reviews on everything professional wrestling. Head on over to pwpnation.com.
Also, be sure to head on over to ProWrestlingSheet.com. It launched in August of this year, and it strives to report on the stories you actually care about in the world of professional wrestling, not just clickbait, filling most news sites. Founder and editor-in-chief Ryan Satin previously worked as a senior producer for TMZ.com, where he has helped the company become a force in wrestling reporting, largely in part to his exclusive stories he landed on a constant basis. Make sure you head on over to ProWrestlingSheet.com.
Well, that's the show. We want to thank you all for listening today.
Every week we do this show free of charge for you, the fans.
If you're wondering how to repay us, we have just the thing.
Subscribe to us on iTunes, and while you're there, be sure to rate us and give us a good review.
And if you're looking for more information about AWP, then head on over to anotherwrestlingpodcast.com.
We are all over social media, and you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and more.
And if you're an AWP super fan, you can go show your support by going over to prowrestlingtees.com and buying one of our official AWP shirts.
We couldn't do this show without you, so tune in next week for...
Another Wrestling Podcast.